Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blog and theboys.com. My name, RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Monday, September 16th, 2019, but more importantly, it is a Monday following a Dallas Cowboys win, which means one particular thing, my friends. Everybody get in group hug time right now. It is Victory Polo Monday. That's right. If you're new around here, hey, welcome to our tradition. The Mondays after Dallas Cowboys win, you know what to do. You grab a polo, you put it on, you snap a selfie, you tweet it out, you tag me. I'm at RJ Ochoa. You can tag at Blogging the Boys. We share it. We all revel in each other's glory. We all tell each other how good we all look. And I get this question a lot. Well, I get two questions a lot. One, it does not have to be a polo. Obviously, you know, the idea was born out of polos, but if it's a t-shirt, if it's a cap, if it's a scarf, if you do your nails, I mean, whatever the case may be, if there is a Dallas Cowboys song in your heart, you are participating in Victory Polo Monday. It is not a fashion statement. It is a lifestyle. So that's the first question I always get. The second one is, you know, because sometimes the Cowboys play on a Thursday, so, you know, the day after, well, it's Friday, so it's still Victory Polo Monday. It's just on a Friday. There's no such thing as Victory Polo Friday or Victory Polo Tuesday after Monday Night Football. It's always Victory Polo Monday, just depending on the day. But today really is a Victory Polo Monday, so happy VPM to you. The Dallas Cowboys victorious on Sunday in their Week 2 contest. 31-21, the final score in our nation's capital, as the Dallas Cowboys defeated the Washington Redskins, and the Cowboys, actually the only NFC East team to pick up a dub in Week 2 of the season. We'll get to what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles in a little bit, but obviously we have to talk about what happened with the Dallas Cowboys. Again, 2-0, and more importantly, 2-0 in division. I stressed this in the YouTube video that we shot. You can check that out. Go subscribe to the Blog of the Boys YouTube channel. It should be out sooner rather than later. And while you're subscribing to stuff, make sure you subscribe right here to the Blog of the Boys podcast feed. Give us a rating, write a review wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Android devices, we're on Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. Anywhere you get podcasts, you can get Blog of the Boys. I think you can even ask Alexa. So, yeah, do that. But goodness gracious, the fact that the Cowboys are 2-0 in division is so valuable. I cannot stress that enough. They're 2-0, obviously, overall. They got that home division win against the Giants and that road win against the Redskins. Think about that. They are halfway done. It's week three, and they are halfway done with their divisional games against the Giants and Redskins, and they're undefeated in them. That's a really, really great place to be. And a lot of this has to do with the circumstances of the season, but so the Cowboys are 2-0. This is Jason Garrett's ninth full season as the head coach of the Cowboys, and this is only the second time that the Cowboys have started off 2-0. Seven different times the Cowboys have been 1-1 under Jason Garrett, and again, we're talking about his full tenure, which began in 2011. So this is the second time the Cowboys have been 2-0. The other time, if you did not know, was the 2015 season. That was a lost year for the Cowboys. Dez Bryant got hurt in the opener, and Tony Romo got hurt a week later. Those two wins were also divisional wins. The Cowboys won at home against the New York Giants and then on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles. And what I was going to say is that kind of kept them alive. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but if you remember that 2015 season, late in December when the Cowboys went to Washington with Matt Cassel as their quarterback, the place where they just won yesterday, okay, they were still in the hunt for the division. I mean, as crazy as it sounded, remember Tony Romo had the tweet from Major League where he was like, we're going to win the whole, you know, effing thing and everything. I mean, they were still in it. And part of that was that the NFC East just collapsed around them and that, you know, 7-8 wins could have gotten it done if the Cowboys had been able to pull that off. But part of that was those two division wins. Those are very powerful. I mean, they carry so much weight. They're the immediate tiebreaker for, you know, NFC East purposes. And the fact that the Cowboys are 33% of the way done with their divisional games and they're undefeated, that's a huge boost of momentum for this season. We've been talking, not to pat ourselves on the back, but it's you and me here, so it's all of us here. We have been talking about the first three games of the season and how the Cowboys had an opportunity to get out to a fast start. They're 2-0 through the first two, and they have a third on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Our friends at BetOnline have the Cowboys as 20.5-point favorites against the Dolphins. I don't know if I would take them to cover just because three touchdowns is a lot. Granted, the Dolphins have been outscored 102-10 in their first two games of the season against the Ravens and Patriots. But the point is the Cowboys should win handily against the Miami Dolphins. And speaking of hands, and I say that with the utmost level of respect, after the Cowboys host the Miami Dolphins, they'll head to New Orleans next week on Sunday Night Football, take on the Saints. And that will be a big game because the Cowboys beat the Saints last year. Cam Jordan was saying a year ago, well, I hope we see him in the playoffs. There's a lot of bad blood there. But on the subject of hands, Drew Brees, Saints quarterback, hurt his hand in Los Angeles when the Saints lost on Sunday. And so, I mean, that game, I mean, maybe you're facing Teddy Bridgewater all of a sudden. We don't know how that's going to be. That is very close. And so you look at the remaining schedule for the Cowboys before the bye. Okay, so they're 2-0. They've got the Dolphins. I think we're going to give them a win, right? That's fair. Then they've got the Saints. And depending on Drew Brees, that could obviously be a lot easier. Then they come home and they host the Green Bay Packers. And that's obviously, you know, that's their kryptonite. That's tough. Although I think this is the year they beat him at home. Then they go on the road to take on the New York Jets. Will Sam Darnold be there? I don't know. I mean, obviously the mononucleosis thing is still kind of up in the air. It was reported by a lot of people on Sunday morning that he could be out, you know, 3 to 7 weeks, which obviously would include this game. And then the Cowboys come home to host the Philadelphia Eagles. That game is on my birthday. So, hey, if you want to write it down, no big deal. October 20th, my 30th birthday. Goodness. And they host the Eagles before they go on a bye. And then they come out of the bye and they get the New York Giants. And then they come back and they get the Minnesota Vikings, who lost to the Packers. So right now, the only truly intimidating games for the Cowboys through early November are really the New Orleans Saints, assuming health for Drew Brees, and the Green Bay Packers. And of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, because, hey, I mean, they're the Eagles. But so things are looking really good. But part of that is because of what the Cowboys did in Washington. Dak Prescott, man. Pay this dude. Dak Prescott was marvelous against the Washington Redskins. Okay, he was 26 of 30. That's an 87% completion percentage, okay? 269 passing yards. He did have the interception that was tipped off of Randall Cobb, and a lot of people pointed out, hey, you know, the ball was behind Randall, whatever, and it was. I mean, if you want to put that 50-50 on Dak and Randall or whoever, that's fine. I'm not at all absolving Dak of blame. I just, it's not throwing to a dude sitting on the ground like Carson Wentz did. That's my only point. Anyway, so he had the one pick. He did have three touchdowns, found Amari Cooper again, found Jason Witten again. I mean, things are looking pretty good for Dak Prescott right now. And he had five carries for 69 yards and the incredible stiff arm of Josh Norman. So, I mean, it was just an incredible performance for Dak Prescott through two games, all right, because Dak has played two games just like every other person in the NFL except for the Browns and Jets on Monday Night Football. Dak is 51 of 62. That's an 82% completion rate through two games of the season. He has 674 passing yards. He does have the interception, seven total touchdowns. He's got nine carries for 81 yards. I'll never forget learning my times tables. 9 times 9 is 81. Now, something I found very interesting. Through two games, so we're talking about a season's first two games. In 2016, his rookie year, Dak Prescott had thrown no touchdowns. Dak Prescott threw his first touchdown, passing touchdown, because he had one rushing on the road in Washington in week two of that year. But his first passing touchdown came in week three at home against the Chicago Bears. That was Dez Bryant. It was awesome. That was the night Zeke had the hurdle, and it was a really great game and everything. So through two games, Dak had no passing touchdowns his rookie year. One year later, in 2017, he had three passing touchdowns through two games. Hey, you know, that's respectable. I remember week two that season in 2017 was when they were at Denver, and it was just a, oh my gosh, destruction. Last season, obviously the 2018 season, and I tweeted this out, and I accidentally typed the years backwards. That's my bad. But the 2018 season last year, Dak Prescott had one passing touchdown through the season's first two games. Okay, so we're talking 0-3-1. In each of his first three seasons, the first two games of those seasons. I hope that makes sense. Reminds me, by the way, if you've ever seen the show Community, in one of the Christmas episodes, Abed says, if years were seasons, this December would be the December of our December. And that's something that literally took me like 4 years to understand. I had to look it up on Reddit and stuff, and it was crazy. But anyway, back to focus. Dak Prescott, through two games this season, has 7 passing touchdowns. From 0 to 3 to 1 to 7. He literally has more touchdowns through this season's first two games than he does through the first two games of the previous three seasons combined. I mean, what Kellen Moore and specifically John Kitna have done with Dak to work on his fundamentals, the way he flips his hips now, the way he plants his feet, the way he turns. I mean, everything about Dak fundamentally is so different. He is reborn as a quarterback, and we're seeing those results play in what we can now say are week in and week out. Where the lower levels of competition, the New York Giants and Washington Redskins, of course, nobody's going to tell you otherwise. These are two teams that aren't that good. But Dak Prescott has really dominated them, which is what you're supposed to do to really bad teams. Kellen Moore, dude. I mean, the Cowboys have spread the ball out in such an amazing way. On Sunday against Washington, they found ways to utilize Devin Smith, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, Jason Witten, Randall Cobb, Blake Jarwin, Zeke Elliott, and Tony Pollard. All of them. Tony Pollard would have had his first Cowboys touchdown if not for a penalty. Obviously, that really sucked. And I think that's a point that the Cowboys need to clean up. There were some really unfortunate penalties, from the Cowboys in terms of things that happened in Washington. But hey, those are things that you work on, you try to get better at, and, you know, that's where you improve. But overall, just an incredible performance by the Cowboys. Again, 31-21 makes it sound a lot closer than it really was. But the Cowboys now, they won their first game of the season 35-17. They won their second game of the season 31-21. They scored at least 30 points in back-to-back games. Do you know the last time that happened? All right, do you know the last time that happened? It has literally been over a year. The last time the Cowboys scored at least 30 points in back-to-back games was near the end of the 2017 season. Incidentally, it came against the Washington Redskins and New York Giants, just like this season's two games, but it was that Thursday night game that Dez Bryant set the record. Cowboys scored 30-plus points in that, and then the next week when they were in New York, that was the big Rod Smith game. That was when they debuted the Navy jersey with the white pants combination that Dez Bryant came up with. So it was literally weeks 13 and 14 of the 2017 season, the last time the Cowboys had at least 30 points in consecutive games. What's more is the Dallas Cowboys have had 494 and 474 yards of total offense. Let me say that again. In weeks 1 and 2 of this season, the season we're currently watching, the season that we're currently living, the Cowboys have had 494 and 474 yards of total offense in those two games. That is 968 yards of total offense in 8 quarters of football. 2 games, okay? Now, I thought about that because the total yardage thing is a really interesting way to look at this. If you did not know, 3 years ago now, in the 2016 season, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but hopefully you're following me, whether you're driving or listening while working out or something. There's a lot of information to consume, and so I'm pumped. You know, I may have had a monster today, and so I'm a little ready to roll. But in the 2016 season, the Cowboys went 8 consecutive games with over 400 yards of total offense. What, RJ? What's the big deal? 8 games, Ocho, you're just telling me some things to say your last name. No. That's a really incredible thing. When the Cowboys pulled that off in 2016, 8 consecutive games of over 400 total yards of offense, only 2 teams before them had ever done that. Literally 2 teams in NFL history. The 2007 New England Patriots and the 2013 Denver Broncos. Those are literally the greatest 2 offenses to ever play the game of professional football in the NFL. Okay, so the Cowboys were in really elite company, and so they've had this potential. And so to my point now, 494 and 474 yards of total offense in these two games. What is significant about that? What is significant about 968 yards of total offense in 2 games, 2 consecutive games, throughout the entire Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott era? Okay, which now is 50 games old. We are literally at 50 games. Game number 50 was in Washington. They have never accumulated that much yardage in terms of total offense in back-to-back games. It is literally the most yardage that they have ever had in 2 consecutive games. We are literally watching. I just watched Parks and Rec for the first time this past offseason, so like now I get all the literally jokes, but they are literally operating at their most potent rate that we have ever seen in this particular era of Dallas Cowboys football. That's incredible. I mean, that really is incredible when you think about it. It speaks to Kellen Moore. It speaks to John Kitna. It speaks to Dak Prescott. It speaks to Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, who we'll talk about in a little bit from the injury front. Hopefully everything's all right. But it speaks a lot to just the fiber and the core of who this team is offensively and the design of them personnel-wise and schematically. I mean, this team is an offensive powerhouse. I mean, for now, right? I mean, we still have to see, and I, you know, there's still going to be people who say, dude, it was Washington, and a week from now, it'll be, dude, it was Miami. You know, I don't know at what point, maybe if the Cowboys, you know, put it on New Orleans with Drew Brees or Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, maybe at that point, people will wake up a little bit. But right now, Dak Prescott's playing like the MVP. I mean, right now, I mean, I know it's only 2 weeks, but I mean, based on what we have, this is, however small, it is a legitimate sample size. Dak Prescott is playing like the league's MVP. He's also playing like a dude who's probably going to get paid. And he said something very interesting about getting paid. He told Pam Oliver something very, very interesting. We're going to talk about that next. But before we do, we're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so we know the Cowboys are 2-0. We know that the Washington Redskins are 0-2. We know that the New York Giants are 0-2 thanks to their loss to the Buffalo Bills. By the way, the Bills, I thought this was really cool. They're 2-0, and their two wins have come at the same stadium. They won at MetLife Stadium in weeks 1 and 2, beating the Jets and the Giants. That is so cool. The Philadelphia Eagles are 1-1. To talk about that briefly, if you did not watch Sunday Night Football, it was actually really exciting in a boring way. It was not the same level of excitement as last week's Monday Night game between the Texans and the Saints, but it was a really, you know, Chris Collinsworth was losing his mind at the hard hits that were happening between Atlanta and Philadelphia, and it really was kind of a hard-nosed sort of, you know, rough and tough game of football. And I got to give Carson Wentz credit. You know, we had a lot of fun, and we always have a lot of fun tweeting about him from the Blog on the Boys Twitter account. But Carson Wentz, that dude really is a warrior. I mean, he really does kind of give the game his all, and he battled back, and Atlanta did everything that they could to lose that game. But thankfully, they have one truly elite player on that team, and his name is Julio Jones. And he finally said, screw it, I've had enough. I'm just going to take this thing, I'm going to put it in my hands, and I'm going to win the game. And that's what he did. But man, I mean, look, to be clear, to be totally clear, we never root for injuries. We never want to see anybody get hurt on any team whatsoever, no matter what, no matter the cause, no matter the reason, no matter the justification. We never root for injuries. That being said, Philadelphia is beat up. We will see what happens in terms of the statuses from a health perspective of Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. And, I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, they were showing graphics all night long. But the Eagles in a rough spot. But their schedule's friendly, too. I mean, the Eagles aren't going away anytime soon. But they are 1-1. The Dallas Cowboys stand alone in first place in the NFC East with a 2-0 record. It's funny. The Cowboys actually... That's right. With two wins, have more victories than the entire rest of the NFC East combined. Yeah, that's true. That's mathematically and objectively true. You can't deny it. But back to the Cowboys and what they did. Something very interesting happened during Sunday's win in Washington. Kind of early on in the fourth quarter on the broadcast, and I love hearing Charles Davis and Kevin Burkhardt. I really love that broadcast team. But they threw it down to Pam Oliver because they were talking contracts and stuff because the Cowboys were beating the Redskins so badly that they had to talk about something. And so they throw it to Pam Oliver, and she said something about Dak Prescott that was fascinating. And here it is, Pam Oliver from Sunday's Cowboys-Redskins game.
Pam Oliver, how's Dak feeling about this whole contract negotiation thing?
Well, I asked him about that, and he said when all is said and done, he does not necessarily expect to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. An answer that may cause his agent to choke on his cell phone without hesitation. Prescott said, I've never played for money. It's not what makes me happy. He went on to say he doesn't think he can ask for those kinds of riches if he hasn't won a Super Bowl. He said his goal is to be the best player ever. And, of course, he wants to attain that status as a Dallas Cowboy.
I find it very fascinating that Dak Prescott would seemingly be fine with the message being put out, certainly nationally, but obviously across the entire world. I mean, we know that a lot of people watch this game. It wasn't just you and me. That he was fine with the message that he did not have intentions or was okay to some degree with not being the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I don't doubt for one second that maybe Dak has, in his own mind, maybe with his representatives, maybe in his camp, has made a concession, a self-concession that says, yeah, you know, I mean, when this is all said and done, I'm probably not going to be the highest paid. That would make sense. That's totally normal. But to vocalize that is really interesting. Obviously, it sounds great and it sounds cool, and it speaks to Dak's character and all the, you know, great things from that capacity about him wanting to be a Dallas Cowboy, wanting to be the greatest player ever. I mean, you know, that's awesome. But I find that interesting. And I find it interesting that Pam Oliver said it, again, during the broadcast. It was fascinating. But on the subject of the Dak contract extension, this kind of came up on Sunday because you know how all the morning shows on Sundays, they get all their news out, and it's frenzy. So NFL Network reported about how, and we had heard this kind of over the weekend, how the Dak talks between he and the Cowboys have kind of chilled and they've kind of stalled. And, you know, the idea was that it had to do with, you know, years and whatnot. And I thought that this was vocalized very well by Charles Robinson of Yahoo on the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast last week. Now, Charles was talking about this. And when you look, because a lot of people have said, okay, let's just give Dak the Jared Goff deal or the Carson Wentz deal, whatever. It's not the same thing. And I hadn't really realized this, honestly, thinking about it, because Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, their extensions don't truly begin, much like Zeke Elliott's, until the 2021 season. Because Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Zeke Elliott, they're all on fifth-year options, right? We all know that. Those fifth-year options, before they got their new extensions, those already ran through the 2020 season. Dak's contract ends after this season. He's a year sooner. He arrives a year earlier than all these players. And so if Dak Prescott were to literally get the exact same deal as Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, for that matter, he would hit free agency 1 year sooner. And so if you're Dak Prescott, that sounds awesome, because then you get a chance to get paid earlier. You're going to be younger than Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, conceivably, when you get a chance to get paid again. So you're going to be closer to your prime. You're probably going to be operating at a higher level, etc. I mean, there's all the more reasons to, if you're an NFL quarterback, time your situation to where you get another contract when you're 31, maybe 32 years old at the absolute maximum. You've seen how guys play into their 40s now and whatnot, but 31, 32, you're still operating at a pretty elite level. Think about it. Russell Wilson's 30. I mentioned earlier, I'm almost 30, and obviously I operate like an elite NFL quarterback. So the Cowboys are saying, whoa, 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 Miss Lippy, that deal that Carson and Jared signed, yeah, the average annual value, that's fine. That's cool. However, we want another year on that because we want to make sure we have that control, because we don't want you to hit free agency. Again, I highly recommend going to Charles Robinson's Yahoo NFL podcast from last week with Therese Paylor and listening, because he really laid it out well. So Charles's point is that the Cowboys are saying, okay, you know, let's add another year. And if you're Dak Prescott, why would you do that? I mean, why would you intentionally and willingly give up a year and, you know, delay your next potential payday? And so if you're Dak Prescott, there's one reason you would do that, and it would be if the guaranteed money was worth it. And so I think ultimately we could see a contract for Dak Prescott that maybe does match Jared Goff and Carson Wentz's, and this is my thought now, from a length perspective and from an annual average value perspective. However, I do believe that Dak is going to top them in guaranteed money if that's the case, because there's got to be some give if you're the Cowboys. If you're going to get that extra year, you've got to give some more guaranteed money. And at this point, dude, who cares? This guy's balling out. I mean, I don't mean to say that two games are enough to make, you know, sort of a distinction that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, but Dak Prescott checks all the boxes, all right? And from an on-field perspective, he is, we mentioned this at the top, he is playing like an MVP. And I mean, dude, I mean, I find it fascinating that all of that considered, he is willing to say, at least through Pam Oliver, that he knows he's not going to be the NFL's highest paid player, or highest paid quarterback, I should say. Still, though, very interesting. Very good times for the Cowboys to be 1-0. Again, the Dallas Cowboys 2-0, the Eagles 1-1, both the Giants and Redskins failing to register a win so far on the season. What a great day. These are all of the Cowboys' offensive possessions, by the way. They're through their two games, through eight quarters, okay? They punted against the New York Giants, then five touchdowns in a row, then three punts before the game ended. Then the Washington game, they had the punt early on, then the interception, that sucked, and then one more punt, but then three touchdowns, a field goal, and a touchdown. In two separate instances, one in each of the two games they've played, the Cowboys have put together five consecutive scoring drives. Against the Giants, they were all five touchdowns. Against the Redskins, it was four touchdowns and a field goal. So what a bunch of losers. But this is elite football. We're seeing really, really, really elite football. And a lot of the reason why it's elite is because of who the Cowboys have. I mean, they have Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper, by the way, has now played six games against NFC East teams. He's played each NFC East rival twice, because he only played against Washington and New York once last season. Through his six games, Amari Cooper, he has, by the way, played 11 games as a member of the Dallas Cowboys, and they are 9-2 in those games. But Amari Cooper, through his six games against the NFC East, has 39 receptions for 653 yards, seven touchdowns, and is undefeated. Goodness. I mean, goodness gracious. By the way, Jason Witten did catch another touchdown. He is only three behind Dez Bryant for the franchise's all-time record. With four more touchdowns, receiving touchdowns this season, Jason Witten would hold the Cowboys record. 74 is the magic number. He sits at 70. He has 14 games left. He's, for the moment, averaging a touchdown per game. It kind of feels fair to say he'll get it. I would bet that he does. I mean, personally. So Amari Cooper's balling out, Jason Witten's balling out, Michael Gallup's balling out, and that kind of leads us to the somber part of today's episode. Hopefully you're enjoying it, because I know I am. But so Calvin Watkins of the Dallas Morning News reported on Sunday evening that Michael Gallup needs an MRI on his knee. And so all day Monday, obviously Cowboys fans everywhere are going to be holding their breath, hoping that he's all right and hoping that everything's okay. Michael Gallup has really been a superstar for the Cowboys so far. He's balling out of his mind. So we'll see. He was optimistic afterwards, in terms of speaking to the media, but you never know how that goes. He was not the only Cowboy to show up on the injury report, though. Antoine Woods, the defensive tackle, the human log, per ESPN's Todd Archer, Antoine has a sprained MCL in his left knee. Now, we will see what comes of that, getting an MRI as well on Monday. If he has to miss time, obviously that means, it's Tristan Hill time, right? The Cowboys drafted Tristan Hill in the second round for a reason. He's their first pick. He's been inactive in both of the games this season. So, Malik Collins, by the way, is an absolute monster, but it would definitely be time for Tristan Hill. And it's also worth saying that now that we're in week three, Robert Quinn can come back. He was suspended for the first two games of the season, which kind of worked out well with his broken hand and the fact that the Cowboys are 2-0 in those games anyway. But with Robert Quinn back, you get another edge rusher. So if you really need to, in an absolute emergency, you could kick Tyrone Crawford inside. So we'll see if the Cowboys do that. But so they certainly have the depth to survive however long they could or could not, maybe would or would not be without Antoine Woods. So those are really the only injury concerns. I do think it's worth mentioning just for a bit that Taco Charlton obviously has been inactive for the two games of the season, and it had been reported that the Cowboys, we talked about this here on the podcast and at Blog of the Boys, Brian Broaddus from DallasCowboys.com said that there was another team that the Cowboys were talking to, that, team was kind of unknown, whatever. On Sunday morning, NFL Network, Jane Slater and Ian Rappaport reported that, there were some trade talks. Jane Slater reported that Taco asked for a trade in the offseason, and so there's clearly some discontent there. I think, the reset button would probably serve everybody really well. Taco has not shied away from social media in this time. He's liked a few tweets. He liked both Jane and Ian's tweets saying, or just talking about the reports of a trade and whatnot. And then on Sunday night after the game, Dayton Jones, you might remember, had some time with the Cowboys. A lot of people really liked him. He responded to a Taco tweet and said, "Free the homie." Taco retweeted that and liked it. And when I pointed that out, Taco called me TMZ, so he's clearly in a mood. I mean, he's clearly ready to roll. So we'll see if this is the week that Taco Charlton ultimately is moved on from the Cowboys, or I should say the week that the Cowboys move on. Look, I know a lot of people, every time the Taco thing comes up, TJ Watt, TJ Watt, TJ Watt, and I get it, and I totally agree with you, but the Cowboys have had outstanding success in the NFL draft. So if Taco's their one miss, does it suck? Absolutely. But is the sky falling? In no way, shape, or form. They're still an incredible front office. They still draft very well. And they're still 2-0. That's what matters the most. So we went a little bit long, a little bit longer than usual. Hopefully you enjoyed that. You know, this is an episode that is obviously very necessary every week because we're recapping what happened. I know we said that my dad would join us. Things got a little busy schedule-wise. I promise he will join us at some point this week. So that will be fun. There's a lot of pressure on us this week, if I'm being honest, because the last couple of weeks we've had Tony Romo, Mike Pereira, DeMarcus Ware, and Jason Witten as guests. You can go back and listen to those in your feed. Great interviews, I've thought, but nothing that special lined up, although my dad, that's gonna be cool. So hey, it is Victory Polo Monday, so again, put on your polo, put on your t-shirt, put on a smile, take a selfie, tweet it. I'm at RJ Ochoa. You can tweet it at Blogging the Boys, and we'll share them all day long. There is no day like Victory Polo Monday. These are the good times, my friends. The Dallas Cowboys are 2-0, and they're 20.5-point favorites in their next game. So yeah, let's enjoy it. Let's have some fun. So with all that being said, we will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.